and shiny shells in all shapes and colors make young hearts sing and dance. Precious works of art remain forever priceless, time irrelevant. Sandy Shore offers troves of tiny treasures for imaginations. Fingers hold paintbrush, brows furrow, fully focused, masterpiece crafted. Tiny treasures from Ever So Gently, a collection of poems by Lauren Scott. Welcome to Tea, Toast, and Trivia. Thank you for listening in. I am your host, Rebecca Budd, and I am looking forward to sharing this moment with you. I am traveling virtually to Northern California to meet writer and poet Lauren Scott. Lauren enjoys the tranquil pleasures of small town living alongside her supportive husband, Matthew, and their beloved lab, Copper. As a dedicated wordsmith, Lauren has explored both fiction and reflections of her own life through her compelling poetry and short stories. Lauren released her latest poetry collection, Ever So Gently, in July of 2023. This enchanting anthology artfully communicates the nuances of life, love, and the human spirit. Today, I am delighted that Lauren has joined me to give voice to her poetry. Welcome to the podcast series, A Poet's Voice, which brings words of poetry from across the world to your home. I invite you to put the kettle on and add to this exciting conversation on Tea, Toast, and Trivia. Welcome, Lauren. Thank you for joining me.
Thank you for having me today, Rebecca. It is truly an honor.
I enjoy your book Ever So Gently. And when you agreed to join me on Tea, Toast, and Trivia, I was thrilled. How did you know you were a poet? How did your poetry evolve?
I have never really called myself a poet, even though I've written poetry since I was a teenager. Poetry has always been a hobby for me, a destination for my emotions. As much as I love reading a finished poem, it's actually the activity or pursuit of poetry that I enjoy the most. It's finding the words and the language and fitting them all together to create this poetic puzzle. I didn't really take it seriously until later in life when I started my blog almost 13 years ago, and I became a part of this wonderful online community that essentially became a classroom. I learned many forms of poetry, and although I prefer writing freestyle without limitations and rules, I do enjoy the challenge of syllabic poetry. I've always loved words and language arts. When you have this thought in mind and you put pen to paper, it's finding those words and piecing them together to create this scene or convey these emotions that you want the reader to get when they read it. When you ask me, how did I know I was a poet? To tie in with your question, two sentences come to mind. Number one, I write poetry. Number two, I am a poet. Both have similar meanings, and yet they're slightly different because the latter is a proclamation and exudes confidence. A couple years after I began blogging, I entered into the self-publishing world. And as you mentioned earlier, I released my fourth book last year, Ever So Gently, which I feel really good about. So today with you, Rebecca, I can honestly say, yes, I am a poet.
What is a wordsmith?
A wordsmith is just the love for words, something that is in your heart. Whether I'm writing in a journal or working on a poem, I need to write. Writing to me is like breathing, something that you can't live without doing every day.
You go to a beach and you see a shell. What does that shell mean to you?
Part of nature. I immediately think of my children playing on the beach. I think of the haiku that I wrote from my book, how children can just find all these little elements of nature on a beach and come up with this creation using their imaginations.
I was there with you on the beach, watching children make and create and enjoy. That's what I feel when I read your poem.
That makes me feel so good. I can't even express that in words today.
When you started blogging 13 years ago, did you take a deep breath before you pushed the publish button?
Definitely, I did. There's some profound energy and sense of feeling. You finish the post and then you're about to press that button and you hold your breath. And then once you press the button, you exhale, you say a little prayer and you cross your fingers.
And it goes out to the universe.
It goes out to the universe.
How did poetry connect with your writing?
Poetry is the link that appeals to all senses. It can be short or long. I love how a scene can be painted or an emotion can be expressed in so few words. I love language that is accessible, yet succinct and elegant, at the same time without laying everything out on the table so the reader can interpret or envision what the writer is trying to convey. So poetry finds itself woven into my fiction as well because of its link that appeals to all the senses.
In Ever So Gently, you share your strong link to nature. Do you find nature gives courage to seek a deeper meaning in life?
I do, definitely. I've connected strongly with nature, and I thank my husband for that because he introduced camping and backpacking and hiking to me, as well as to our children when they were old enough. So our adventures inspired many of my nature poems. You can hike on a trail or relax in camp or by a lake. Quiet time affords you those moments to ponder life. We see every day on the news, the world is full of chaos and tragedy. So when I am with nature in any form, the serenity offers me a chance to rejuvenate my heart, my mind, and my soul. But this doesn't mean that you have to be in the Sierra Mountains or hiking on the Pacific Crest or Appalachian Trail. My husband and I love to sit on our patio and watch the hummingbirds. Moments as simple as these can be just as calming and just as significant. I'll add that I don't like to be plugged in when I'm outdoors. I like to hear the sounds of nature, the song of the birds, the bees buzzing, the wind rustling through the trees, the sound of the waves on the beach, or water flowing. These are all nature's radio station that I'd rather be plugged into. So as many times as I observe a hummingbird, another sunrise or sunset, or a deer strolling down our street, I am in awe of nature's gifts because they are free and allow me to think quietly. So in answer to your question, yes, nature gives me courage to enter the real world again.
I am looking forward to hearing your voice give energy to the words on a page. Would you share your poetry with us?
I am delighted to share my poetry. When we moved to Northern California, I was introduced to a state park only 20 minutes from our house. And even though it's not far away, it feels like a magical wonderland each time you enter the park. Redwoods surround you. Whether you're there for a day visit, a picnic in the park, or if you're camping for the weekend. You stroll along the creek and you're captivated by the majestic giants. Each time feels like a first, and it's definitely one of our favorites. So ever since, I've just been in awe of redwoods. Spiritually, in their company, I feel a sense of safety, wisdom, communication, and renewed energy. I encourage everyone at some point to find a redwood grove, stroll through it slowly, and absorb the magic. This poem is titled In Good Company. When we stroll among redwood trees, our steps slow down. We are in good company. There is no reason to rush, and we won't hesitate to hug them with open arms. Because why not? They deserve reverence for their generosity. In their company, fine fibers of peace flow through our hearts and souls, centering us. Any worries burdening our minds fall to the earth to be walked upon and buried. We listen as their leaves whisper in the breeze. Be filled with joy and do not fret, for there is no time for that nonsense. This next poem is titled, The World is Broken. It came to mind one morning when my husband and I were enjoying our coffee, talking about world events that were very upsetting. And then he expressed how much he loved me, and the words just came to mind. Basically, I'm fortunate to have a husband who is my best friend and who can calm my mind in moments like these. It's short and uncomplicated, but very profound. The world is broken. The world is broken, we are aware. But being alive on this crisp autumn morning, what a blessing to behold. And he says, the good news for today is, I love you, your heart, your mind, your soul. The world may be broken, but I am not. The next poem is titled The Same Sky. And a little backstory on this is our daughter and son are adults living on their own, and it's been 2 years since my husband and I became empty nesters. When our daughter moved to Tennessee several years ago, it was very tough on our hearts because it was so far away from California. But my son still lived at home, so that was the comforting part. Then when he moved out a few years later, he moved to Virginia. So we had two kids living across country. And again, tough on the hearts. But as we all know, time is magic. So eventually my husband and I found our new comfort zone, not to mention how proud we were of them paving their own paths and chasing their own dreams. And of course, technology has come in handy, along with all of us flying east and west to visit each other. My wish someday, though, is that we will all live in the same state. But until then, we share the same sky. So that's how this poem was inspired. The same sky. I don't know if I should feel embarrassed about having a moment that lasted for a day, and there was no point in fighting the tears. They are winners. Would other parents think differently? Not that I care, because I loathe the many miles between us, as though they have done me wrong, becoming my enemy. But the consolation is knowing when my eyes look upward, when I exhale acceptance, We share the same vivid blue sky. The distance, simply geography.
That was wonderful. The idea of distance and location. We're here. Space and time come together, and the sky is over all. That last, the distance simply geography, makes it so profound.
My book is divided into three sections. Simply put, nature, love, and life. This poem is titled Maybe, and it is from the life section, which is titled Lost in Thought. I have to give credit to my husband again for the raindrop line. I loved it, and then the poem was born. Maybe. When you sit by the window, evading life's demands, watching hummingbirds flit about, do you wonder if our existence is the only breathing form? Who's to assume we're alone with stars millions of miles away glistening in the night? Maybe other beings wonder if they're simply a tiny atom or molecule floating in the larger picture. Maybe we're just a raindrop in someone else's universe.
Do you have any last thoughts or insights on how we can embrace a poetic journey?
I would say for those who wish to write in any genre, don't let anything hold you back. Whether it's a college degree or that voice in your head telling you that you're not good enough. I love the words of author Anne Lamott. Good writing is a strange cocktail of ego and self-doubt. How profound. When I hear of renowned authors feeling or dealing with self-doubt, I am reassured that if I'm feeling doubtful, it's simply realistic. Yet everyone has a story to tell, whether in prose or poetry. So put pen to paper and enjoy the pursuit of writing.
And words create thought. And because of that, we are together. Our words, our thoughts, our insights that will last way beyond our time. This has been extraordinary. Lauren, will you come back and join me again for another conversation about poetry?
I would love to join you again, Rebecca. It was so exciting, and I'm honored to be with you. I really enjoyed it. Thank you.
Thank you for joining Lauren and me on Tea, Toast, and Trivia to reflect on the beauty of poetic words. Thank you, Lauren, for sharing your insights on how poetry allows us to describe the world around us in unexpected ways. Listeners, you can meet up with Lauren on her website, baydreamerwrites.com, and on her Amazon page. You are only an internet click away from journeys that enrich the soul. Until next time we meet, dear friends, keep reading and reciting poetry. Safe travels wherever your adventures lead you.